This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Today is our Healing Sunday. And so we preach on healing once a month because I know if you're like me, you get attacked every once in a while in your bodies. Because we are living in corruptible bodies. Pretty soon we'll have incorruptible bodies. And that's going to be wonderful. The Bible says when we get to heaven, every tear that we shed down here will be removed. Amen? But we may be shedding some tears while we're down here. And so that's why, you know, it's you know, we have good days and sometimes we have challenging days. I don't want to say bad days. I want to say challenging days. Amen? And so our faith will be challenged. And so our faith is going to be always challenged, or it's going to be challenged a lot of times while we live down here. And so, your faith will be challenged. Amen? And so I believe that as we go into this, you know, we are starting a corporate fast for 21 days based on Daniel fasting for 21 days to receive revelation from God. I believe that if you embark on this fasting challenge, yes, I'm challenging you this morning to do something different, to get out of a pattern, to move into something new. I believe that God wants to bring us into something new every day of our lives, especially for the new year. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want to be just stuck in a pattern. I don't want to be stuck in some areas in my life where I'm struggling in. I want to come out of the struggle. Amen. How many people want to come out of the struggle? Amen. And some of us are struggling in some areas of our lives. Amen. We're not perfected yet. Now, Jesus, really, he had no struggles. And that's where we want to go. We want to go where Jesus is at, where Jesus never had a faith failure. Amen. And so we don't want to have any faith failures. Amen. And so fasting is a powerful spiritual and physical practice. I put physical in there as well. I was just going to say just spiritual practice, but it's a spiritual and a physical practice that we do. Because fasting does not only affect our spirits, but it affects our bodies. And it can affect your body in a good way. And even science will tell you that fasting, when you fast for a certain amount of time, just on water, just drinking water, amen? When you fast just drinking water, amen, that your body will start to heal itself. And the body will create new cells. And you can even get a little smarter, amen? You even get more new brain cells. How many people want to be a little smarter in here? Amen. Amen. How many people want to get a little smarten up? Amen. And I'm telling you, I need new brain cells, amen? I want to be able to think more clearly. And most people think, well, if you're fasting, you're going to be tired and lethargic. No, not really. Really, when you eat a big meal, don't you want to take a nap? Right? Yeah, but when you're fasting, normally what happens is that your body will start feeding on the fat that you have in your bodies, and that fat is called ketones, or you go into where you're burning ketones, which is you're burning the fat. And it's a much better fuel than the fuel that we burn when we're eating, because mostly we eat carbs. Amen. Carbs is like baked potatoes, rice, bread, all that. And all that turns into sugar. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're gonna fast sugar this 21 days. No junk. Get the junk out of your trunk. Amen. You got to get the junk out of your trunk. My wife made some cookies last night. I said, she said, this is your last chance for the next 21 days. And I said, no, I'm starting my fast yesterday. Amen. And so I did have a little nibble of the cookie, but it wasn't enough to make a difference. Amen. And so I'm going to say this, that if you put away the cookies, put away the Twinkies, put away those things and start eating right, God can do something amazing in your life. So we're talking about health and healing this morning. And really, it's based on, really, our health is based on not just what we eat, but it's based on your faith and how you believe and what you believe about your life. Amen? I like what it says in Mark 11. This is the foundational faith scriptures. Jesus said to them, or to his disciples, after he cursed the fig tree, and it withered. And Peter said, look, the fig tree's withered. And Jesus says this to his disciples and Peter. He answered him and said, have faith in God. Amen. So that's the key. Whatever you believe in God for, if you're believing God for healing, deliverance, you got to have some faith in God. Amen. Amen. And I love that. And he says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountains, be removed and cast in, or the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That's the great foundational faith scriptures that you can speak to your mountains. Your mountains are considered the problems that you have in your life, and you want to speak to those problems, and you can command those problems to get out of the way. Do you believe that today? But one thing he says in here that's very important, and this can short-circuit your faith. You know what's going to short-circuit your faith? Doubt. Doubt will short-circuit your faith. And he said, if you do not doubt, he said, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things. So I'm going to say this, that we're living in a physical world. We're living in a natural world. And we're going to doubt at times. Am I talking to some real people today? Am I talking to people that have tried to walk this faith walk, that every once in a while you deal with doubt? Is that right? Or am I looking at everybody that's Jesus in here? Jesus may have never dealt with doubt. Yeah. But we're going to deal with some fear in our times, some anxiety in our times. So we live in a physical world, and we can tend to be prone to believing our senses or the circumstances more than what the Word of God says. And so the problem is that we as Christians can fall into that category where we lose our sensitivity towards the things of God. What do I mean by that? What we do is we read the Bible, but we're reading it just to get our reading plan in, but we're not reading it to understand it. In other words, you just read a whole chapter and you don't even know what you read. You walk away from that chapter and you got nothing out of it. There was no revelation. You forgot what you just read, and you move on to the next thing that you're going to do. Come on, I'm talking to some real people today. But Jesus said, but I got my Bible reading in. Yeah, you get your Bible. You speed read through that Bible, and you don't want to speed read the Bible. Just trying to speed read it. And then I got my reading in. But you can read something and not really digest it. And so we got to read it. And then sometimes when I read a chapter and there's nothing that pops out, I'll read it again. And if it doesn't pop out, I'll read it a third time. Because I want to get something out of my word what I'm saying today, the problem that we can deal with as Christians is that we can read the Word of God, but we do it, methodically, we do it like automatically, but we're not really receiving any faith because we're not really dwelling on what the Word of God is saying. And so we take the Word of God for granted. And we think that we really know it. And just because you read it doesn't mean you got faith. You only know if you got faith when you get the faith test. And what you do when the faith test comes your way. Because when a faith test comes your way, then you know what kind of faith you've got. And if you're crying, moaning, and groaning when the faith test comes your way, then you really don't have any word or the word that you need in your life. Am I talking to anybody today? So in other words, we read it, but we really don't believe it. Can I get real with you this morning? And so we can read the scriptures, but you know if you really believe it when the enemy starts attacking your body and you start exhorting or you start lifting up the problem or that symptom bigger than the Word of God. And when we lifting that up bigger than the Word of God, then that thing becomes king in our life. That vice that we're dealing with, we lift that up, that becomes king in our life. Now, I like this because Zechariah is an interesting individual. And Zechariah was a priest, and it's in Luke 1, 5 through 12, or 5 through 18, or 19, I'm going to read. But I'm not going to read the whole account, but you know about Zacharias. And Zacharias was married to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was barren, and they were, they prayed for a baby. And so he was in the temple, and he was praying, and an angel showed up. Now, when an angel shows up, you better pay attention. And an angel showed up and said, God has heard you. You are blessed, because he did everything. He was doing all the right things. It's funny. He was doing all the right things, but he wasn't seeing the blessing of a child. And there was a process in that blessing. I'm going to say this. You can be doing all the right things and still not see the breakthrough yet. But I'm going to say, just wait, because though it tarries, it will surely come to pass. Amen. So just a delay is not a denial. Just because it's a delayed process, just because you haven't seen the breakthrough, doesn't mean it's not coming. So you got to believe the breakthrough's coming no matter what it looks like and no matter how long it's been. Amen. And so we know this, that they were advanced in years because Elizabeth and Zechariah were advanced in years and they were older. And so the angel appeared to them. And in verse 11, it says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Amen. Powerful. So what should have been Zechariah's response when the angel said that? He should have said, yes, according to God's word, let it be done unto me. That should have been his response. That should be our response. But when we're encountering, especially long-term, when we've been dealing with problems long-term, it's difficult for us, for our faith to get ignited. Even if we read a scripture that promises us breakthrough. And so you could read a scripture, but you've been dealing with something a long time that hasn't worked, and you're like, but, you're trying to stand, but it's not working. And so what was Zechariah's response? He said, my wife's old and I'm an old man. How can this be? In other words, he was focused on the natural circumstances, even though he was walking with God, even though that he was doing the right things. He was serving in the temple and he was upright man. And Elizabeth was upright. They were doing the right things. But even when doing the right things, sometimes wrong things happen. We live in a natural world. You're not exempt from the problems of this life. The problems that even unsaved people have, we can have those same type of problems. But the difference between us and the unsaved person is that Jesus is in our boat when we have the problem. Amen. The unsaved person has no hope, but we have hope. Even if we die, we're going to heaven. So we have hope. The unsaved person doesn't have any hope. Amen. So death is not the final say-so. Amen. So that's why we don't want to have fear of death. We don't have fear of death because we know where we're going. Somebody say, I'm heaven bound. So we're heaven bound, glory to God. And so the angel said, because you do not believe my word, I'm going to close your mouth. I'm going to keep you from speaking until the baby is born. You know, in Hebrew, the word fast means really to cover your mouth. So when you're fasting, you're covering your mouth. In other words, you're not eating any longer. And so some of us might need to be a little quiet in our fast. In other words, stop grumbling and complaining that you can't eat and start praising God that he's going to do a miracle in that fast that you're undertaking. And he can do that. Do you believe that? And so I believe that. So fasting, so we're all going to encounter, short circuit faith at times in our life. Amen. And so we need to understand that the key is that getting close to God and praying can help us move in that place that God wants us to move in. Number two, fasting and prayer can help you tune in more into God and less in the natural circumstances that can bring fresh direction in our lives. So again, fasting and prayer can help us tune more into God. I don't know about you, but I need to tune more into God. There's a song about feeling God's presence, that we need to be seeking God, and I want to sense his manifested presence in my life. I want to feel God. Can you feel God? You sure can. When I'm worshiping here and the worship team is praising and glorifying God, sometimes I'm in the presence of the Almighty God, even though you're here with me and we're all praising together. But it's like an audience of one. I'm just there with the Lord. And I'm praising God. I forget about everybody else. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and praise the Lord. And so all everybody else gets tuned out. And it's me and God in worship. And all of a sudden, God starts touching me through a song. And I start breaking down. And I start weeping. And I feel the presence of the Almighty. Some of us need to cry every once in a while. Some of us haven't shed a tear in a while. And sometimes we need to get a touch by God. Now, I'm not saying, it's the acid test of being touched by God that you shed a tear. But shedding a tear can mean that you are still sensitive to the things of God. Shedding a tear may show that. Even running around or even breaking out into laughter, sometimes we do that. That's the presence of God. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And some of us this new year, we might need to refuel our joy. Amen. We might need to get a little bit more joy. Yes. A little bit more joyful, amen? Yeah. And instead of looking like we've been sucking on a dill pickle all our lives, amen. You know what I'm talking about? We need to get that look off our face. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're saved, notify your face. Amen. Glory to God. And so we need to notify our face. If you're saved, you should have a smile on your face. You should be lit up. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't look like you've been sucking on a dill pickle all your life. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And so Elijah is an interesting character. And Elijah was, he did some miracles for God. He was a miracle man. This man was a miracle man. He did some awesome things. And he challenged the legal system or the devilish system of that day. And he was able to cause fire to come down from heaven. And he ended up, executing the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel, the king's queen, she was a bad woman. She was tough. And she sent a word to Elijah. She said, if you're not dead this time tomorrow, then she said, by this time tomorrow, you'll be dead. And so he got this note, and you know, even though you can walk in the anointing of God, even though you can have some grace, sometimes a bad report may make you want to run. May make you, sometimes people that encounter problems, when they're even in our church, they're encountering problems, they think if they move away, if they go to some other state, that they would be better off. No, where God places you is where his grace is for you. Amen. Where he guides, he provides. Where he leads, he feeds. Amen. And sometimes we think if we go over to greener pastures, you know, oh, it could be greener pastures somewhere else. No, it might be greener pastures, but you still got to mow the pastures. You're still going to have to maintain it, glory to God. And so Elijah was running for his life. And in 1 Kings 19, 3 and 4, it says, "And when he saw that he arose, when he heard this, the news, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." He left his servant. That's what fear will do. Fear will make you irrational. Fear will make you do irrational things. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree." Now, I'm not too sure what a broom tree is. Glory to God. Maybe it looks like a broom. "And he prayed that it might that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father.'" So he was having a pity party. And whenever you get bad news, whenever the enemy throws bad news or you're dealing with symptoms in your body, the doctor's bad report, sometimes it makes you want to have a pity party. And sometimes you just want to just cry about it. But you know what? It's okay to cry a little bit, but you're going to have to wipe your eyes off. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to brush yourself up and start moving forward in God. It's okay to cry a little bit, but don't stay in the misery. Don't stay in a crying place. No, you got to come out of it. Somebody say, "I'm coming out of it." And so I love this, because here Elijah, he ran and he started having a pity party, saying that he was no better than his father's. Then it says here, then in verse 5 through 8, "Then he laid and slept under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water." God was supernaturally taking care of Elijah, and God can supernaturally take care of us. Amen. And so no matter where you might be at, even in your pity party, God will still have mercy on your lives. Amen. Somebody say amen on that. Amen. So even you can be having some pity, but God can have mercy on your life. "And he provided him a jar of water, and he ate and drank and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he rose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." So he had a journey, a 40-day, 40-night journey. This is where most scholars believe that this was a 40-day, 40-night fast. Amen. So he went for 40 days. He just ate that one food on the strength of that one meal for 40 days. Now, I'm not asking you to go 40 days, amen, on water. This was a supernatural fast, but I believe that God needed him to get in a supernatural fast so that God could reveal some things to Elijah. Because Elijah had the wrong mindset. He shifted his mindset. He was in fear. He was in doubt. He was in unbelief. And that's not the right mindset to be in if you're serving the Lord. Amen. Amen? Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Amen. And we don't want to be tolerating fear in our lives. So here in verse 19, 9 and 10, it says, "And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And Elijah started speaking his feelings. And sometimes that's what we want to do, is we want to vent when we're dealing with problems in our lives. We want to vent. And I'm going to say this, that we need to vent less and praise more. Amen. I'm going to say it again, vent less and praise more. And so he says here, so in verse 19, 11 through 12, then he said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, the fire, a still small voice. This is powerful because this tells me that there can be a lot of noise out here trying to get our attention, trying to say, could this be God? Could this be God? And so the fire, the earthquake, the wind, you know, all this was really a distraction. Because the devil, what he wants to do when he's trying to hinder us from walking out the will and the plan of God in our lives, the devil wants to distract you. He wants us to be focused more on what we're going through instead of where we're going to. I'm going to say it again. The devil wants us to be more distracted on what we're going through instead of where we're going to. And you have a destination. Somebody say, I have a destination. And God is bringing you to greener pastures. You got to believe that. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you're encountering, no matter how long it's been. You're like, Pastor, it's been a long time. Yeah, but you know what? Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will surely come to pass. Amen. What am I saying? Once you've done all, stand. Yes. And keep standing until you see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Say, I'm standing. I'm standing. I'm standing. And you got to keep standing until you see that salvation of the Lord. Amen? So we see this, that Elijah fasted. And what it did was it shut down his response to the noise that the devil was trying to get him to tune into. And so really what he needed to tune into was that still, small voice of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord spoke to him and said to him, this is what I want you to do. I want you to anoint a couple different people, and I want you to raise up a protege, somebody that's going to take your place. And what the Lord did was gave him fresh direction for his life. And he received that through that still, small voice and got fresh direction. And that fresh direction moved him into the purpose that God has for him. I'm going to say this to you today. What you need in this fast, you just need more purpose. Amen. You just need greater vision. Yes. Because sometimes we're walking this life as a Christian, we lose focus on why we're here. We think we're here just to be blessed. That's part of it. God has called us to be blessed, but we're also called to be a blessing. Amen. We're called to affect people's lives with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that today? I love what it says in Isaiah 43, verse 19. It says, and this is a great New Year scripture. It says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I love that. So in this scripture, it says, do you not perceive and know it? A lot of people don't perceive the workings of God in their life. A lot of people don't have the perception. In other words, we get callous in our walk with God, and we lose our sensitivity to the things of God, and we're not even aware when God is doing good things in our lives. Amen. And I'm going to say this, every blessing that God does for me, I recognize it and I give God praise for it. When any little thing that's good that happens in my life, I recognize it as God working in my life. Amen. I work for Amazon part time, and I deliver groceries. And like even yesterday, when I had to go to a building where I had to go to the third floor, and to deliver some groceries, and you know it's a pain going to these high rise buildings. You know, you don't going in these. It's nice just to drop it off at the nice houses. I like going to the nice expensive houses that they send me to. And because I can look at the architecture and admire some of these places. But when you go into these high-rise buildings, it's not easy. And so when I got there, the lady was down at the bottom to meet me there. And she said, it was a long, you know, to get up to the third floor, and I'll meet you here. And she took the groceries. And I recognized that as God giving me favor. I said, thank God. As soon as she said, thank you. You know, I should have gave her a tip. Amen. And she took the groceries up. What am I saying? Every little thing that God does, you should give him thanks for it. Every little thing, you should realize that God is moving in your lives. Don't just take it for granted. Don't take the little things for granted. Some of you this year, I want to challenge you. Can I challenge you? I'm challenging you with a fast. Amen. But I want to challenge you to get a blessing book, a notebook that says God's blessings, and have it for every day. And whenever God does a little blessing, write it down in your blessing notebook for this year. And then whenever you're encountering problems, go to your blessing notebook and look at how many times God has blessed you. Amen. And it will encourage your faith. That's free today. I'm not going to charge you for that one. But get a notebook and write down your blessings. And get a blessing notebook. And you'll be surprised how many blessings God is blessing you with. Amen. So when Jesus becomes more real to us, we'll see healing manifested greater in our lives. So fasting and prayer brings a greater revelation of Jesus in our lives. I love that. In Luke 5, 33 and 35, I know some of you are not totally convinced about this fasting thing, but I'm trying to move you into convincing you that fasting, glory to God, can bring you closer to God. You say, I'm already close to God. I don't need a fast. Yeah, but how many people can go deeper in God? How many people can, do you have more of God? Do you have just enough God? I hope you just don't have just enough God. I hope that you want more of God. How many people want more of God in here? I want some more God, amen? And Mikey likes it. I like God, amen? Amen. And I want more of God. Somebody, look at your name and say, more of God. See, more God, more good. More God, more grace. And so if you got more God, you have more good in your life. If you have more God, you have more grace in your life. Amen? Amen. And I love that. I love what it says in Luke 5, 33 and 35. Amen. It says, then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And that's like, hey, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I eat and drink, glory to God. The disciples just eat and drink. They don't do any fasting. Why are the Pharisees fasting? Why are John's disciples fasting? Amen. Why isn't Jesus' disciples fasting? He said to them, can you make the friend of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. I know some of you took that out of your Bible. Amen. But that scripture right there is saying that there's going to be times in our life, because we don't have the physical Jesus with us like the disciples. They had Jesus at their beck and call. Think about it, having Jesus at your beck and call. You can ask him a question. You know, Jesus would answer some of your questions in parables, right? And you would say, what does that mean, right? But Jesus would give you some answers to your questions. And so Jesus was at their beck and call. But Jesus is not always at our beck and call. In other words, it's not always clear in hearing the Holy Spirit. It's not always clear in hearing the Holy Spirit. And so he says, in those days, what days? When Jesus is in heaven, he said, his disciples will fast. Somebody say, I'm a disciple. And so in those days, what days is that? Those are these days. These are the days, amen. These are the days of Elijah, amen. No, these are the days that we fast, amen. These are the days where we need to prepare for rain. And I don't know about you, but I want to prepare for rain. What am I talking about? I want to prepare for the blessing. I want to get my heart right. I want to get ready for God to pour the fullness of his blessings down here on my life and on my family. So you got to prepare for it. Say, I need to prepare. And I believe fasting and prayer gets us into a place of preparing for the move of God in our lives. I want to say this. Most people that were used of God in the Bible, a lot of these major Bible characters fasted. Paul fasted. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he believed in fasting. And he was a New Testament man. Amen. And so they fasted in chapter 13 of Acts. They prayed and fasted and ministered to the Lord. And so they practiced that in the New Testament church. So when did it go away? It never went away. But the devil doesn't want you doing it because he knows that if you do some sacrifice, that you might move into a greater place in God and be able to do greater things in God. Yeah, are you hearing what I'm saying today? So the devil doesn't want you to fast. Some translations has taken fasting out of some of the scriptures in the Bible. But I believe fasting is one of the keys that can bring us into a place of walking in great victory in God. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Amen. So Jesus is saying to his disciples that in that day they will fast. And I believe fasting can be a key that will bring you into a closer walk with the Lord. Just a closer walk with thee. Amen. Like that song. Amen. Just a closer walk. We need to have, I don't know about you, but I want to have a closer walk with God. Amen. So the problem is that we deal with problems, natural circumstances in life, and that keeps us focused on that instead of focused on Jesus. And fasting and prayer can keep us more connected to Jesus. Amen. I like this because I believe that there's some things, and even the Bible teaches, there's some things that you won't be able to break off your life unless you fast and pray. Amen. What? Pastor, are you serious? There's even a scripture that talks about that. I'm going to talk to you about that scripture. In Mark 9, 17 through 29, Jesus just comes off the mountain, and he was transfigured in front of James, Peter, and John. They were the only disciples that were up on top of the mountain with Jesus. And Moses and Elijah appeared up on that mountain. But they came down, but 9 of the disciples were down there with a guy that had a demonized son. And he was trying to get the disciples, the 9 of the disciples, to cast that demon out. And so the father, when Jesus came off that mountain, the father asked Jesus, he said, look, your disciples, I asked them to deliver my son and they couldn't do it. What? Jesus already commissioned these disciples to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, but they couldn't do it. Why? Why couldn't they do it? Because Jesus actually said, you faithless generation. Talking about the disciples, faithless or less faith. In other words, they weren't operating in the faith that they needed to deliver that demonized boy. And so Jesus said, you faithless generation. talking about that they had less faith. They weren't adhering strongly to the word of God. Faithless is not adhering to the rule or the word of God. And so they weren't adhering to it, and they were unable to do it. And the man asked Jesus, Jesus, they couldn't do it. Can you do anything? Right? Do you even have the power to do anything? Your disciples can't do anything. And Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the glory of God. If you only believe, just believe and you will see the impossible. So he put it back on that man that it's your believing. It's your faith that's the key that will connect you to the blessings of God. Say, it's my faith. Amen. And so he said, if you can believe, verse 23, all things are possible to him who believes. One of the most powerful scriptures on faith in the New Testament. All things are possible to him who believes. Somebody say, all things are possible. But pastor, it looks like I'm dealing with something that's impossible. Well, faith can undo the impossible in your lives. Do you believe that today? Faith can undo the impossible in your lives. So you just got to believe. But and then the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's what the guy said. I believe, but help my unbelief. And that's where some of us are at right now. We're trying to believe, but we're dealing with some unbelief. We're trying to believe God, but we're dealing with the circumstance. We're dealing with the pain. You know, it's hard to believe God when you got pain in your body. Because that pain is shouting out, pain, pain. By Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Pain. By Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And that's what it's like. You're trying, by Jesus Christ, pain. But you start saying, by Jesus stripes, pain. By Jesus stripes, I'm healed. Pain. By Jesus stripes, I'm healed. Pain. You got it? Amen. Say, I got it. And what I'm saying the word of God has to be louder than the pain that's speaking to your life. To the problems that speak into your life. To where pain becomes pain. By Jesus stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, the word of God needs to start be shouting in your lives. Amen. I love that. Amen. So we need to speak the word of God. And the man said, "Help my unbelief." Amen. And Jesus, you know, the crowd started running towards Jesus. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit in verse 25 and spoke to it and said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. And then it says, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him and became as one dead. So as many said, he is dead. See, the devil always wants to make it look worse. And so he fell down and Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up. And that demon-possessed boy was not demon-possessed any longer. He was not demonized any longer. And he will never have to deal with that problem ever again because Jesus said, enter him into him no more. So that means he got complete healing and total deliverance. Amen? And I'm going to say this, that if you're going to get complete healing and total deliverance in your life, maybe you're dealing with sickness, maybe you're dealing with pain, you're going to have to get desperate. I'm going to have to say this again. You're going to have to get desperate. Desperate people do desperate things, like fast. Oh, there you go. Desperate people do desperate things, like go without some food for a little bit of time. Desperate people. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? I mean, how desperate are you to get out of your problem? How desperate are you that you want deliverance for your family members? How desperate are you? Are you willing to pull out all the stops? Are you willing to go the nth mile? Are you willing to press into the things of God? Are you willing to do the uncomfortable? So fasting, nobody wants to fast. It's not like fun. Oh, I'm fasting. This is fun. Nobody wants to fast. Everybody wants to feast. Is that right? Let's buffet our body and not buffet our body. Paul says buffet your body, not buffet it. But we love the buffets, don't we? We love to eat all you can eat at the buffet. And then once you stuffed yourself, is there any dessert? Glory to God. Amen. And we eat some dessert on top of it. Get us a little sampler of dessert. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And we stuff ourselves. And then we got to go lay down and sleep and hibernate like a bear. And some of us are looking like bears, amen. You know, we're as big as a bear. And man, we don't need to be like that. I'll tell you, you could be lean, mean, and a fighting machine. Glory to God. And that's what I believe this church is turning into. A lean, mean, what do you mean? Mean to the devil, glory to God. Loving to people, but mean to the devil. You don't tolerate the devil and his stuff. And you don't tolerate that, amen. So I'm going to focus on fasting this month. And I hit on this last week. And I believe that we can fast for new life in 25. Somebody say new life in 25. And I like what it says in Isaiah 58:6, because you're going to need a break. Isaiah 58:6, starting with 6, sometimes when you're fasting through this 21 days. And so in Isaiah 58:6, it says, fast, it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loosen the bonds of wickedness. And this means to get rid of self-reliance, selfishness, and sins that easily besets us. Think about that. He said, fasting looses the bonds of wickedness. That means to get rid of self-reliance, selfishness, and sins that easily beset us. So that fasting can do that, amen? In other words, we start relying on God. Number two, fasting can undo the heavy burdens. It says to fast to undo the heavy burdens. This is to deactivate the cares of our lives and the heavy the cares that the heavy burdens put on our lives. In other words, when we're worrying, it can be a heavy burden in our lives. Worry can be a heavy burden. And we need to learn to cast our cares on the Lord. And when you get into a place where you're walking close with the Lord, you're not going to have any cares to worry about. Amen. Amen. Number three, fasting lets the oppressed go free. That means to break sickness off of your life and off of people's life. Oppression is linked to sickness. So when you're fasting, the oppressed are set free. And it says to break every yoke. And I don't know, can I get out of my seat this morning? I know I'm ending my service, but I got to get out of my seat. Glory to God. And I love what it says in Isaiah 10:27. Amen. Mark this in your Bible. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off your shoulder. And what day is that? The day that when you are having that breakthrough fast this month, that day the burden will be removed off your shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And I love this, because whatever yoke you might be dealing with in this life, God wants to destroy it so it cannot be placed back on your necks. Do you believe that today? And I believe some of us through this fast, now seek God how he wants you to lead you into fasting. Maybe you just might want to skip breakfast, maybe lunch, maybe eat one meal a day, maybe just fast and just get all the sugar, all the junk food out, and just eat healthy, glory to God, vegetables and healthy meats, glory to God. Whatever God leads you to do, do it with vigor and vim, and ask God for his help. And I believe that he will move you into that place where the yoke of bondage will be broken off of your neck, because it's the anointing. You got to contend for the anointing. And Isaiah 58:8, it says, your healing shall spring forth speedily. I don't know about you, but I'm not a type of person that likes to wait. I don't want to wait for anything. I like microwaves. Why? Because you don't have to wait and cook it in the oven for an hour. You can microwave it in 30 seconds. But I'm going to say this. When you're fasting and praying, God will immediately, your healing will spring forth speedily. Amen? And he says here in verse 9, you will call upon the Lord and he will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. And so here this says that God will immediately answer your prayers. Amen? So I'm going to highlight and I'm closing down with these scriptures. These scriptures is the base of my sermon today. He said, O faithless generation, Mark 9:19, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. What I'm saying to you today, that scripture is saying is, don't be faithless, be faithful. Be faithful to God. Don't lack faith in your life. Be faithful, be committed, be submitted to God. Amen? And then Jesus said, the remedy to your problem is if you can believe, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. So believing God is getting close to God. And when you start walking closer with God, your faith will be ignited and you will have your believing to believe the impossible will be greater in your lives. Amen? And then he says in Mark 9:29, and he said this to them because the disciples came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast this demonic spirit out? And Jesus said, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So I want to say this. If you're dealing with any kind of problem in your life and you haven't tried fasting yet and you're still dealing with problems, then I'm going to encourage you to try fasting. That might be the hidden ingredient. That might be your key to your breakthrough. I'm going to say this. Pray. Ask God to show you what you need to do in the 21 days that we're doing this fast. And I believe that your life can be radically changed for the better. Did you receive it today? I believe you did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you. I'm believing, Father God, for supernatural change in fasting and praying and seeking you, Lord. I'm believing you, Father God, that you're going to whisper to us and give us fresh direction, fresh insight, give us fresh things to do in you. I thank you, Father God, that you're doing it. And I thank you, Father God, that you're bringing us out of sickness, out of bondage, out of oppression, and you're bringing us into healing, joy, and peace. And I thank you for that. Perhaps you're in the audience, perhaps you're listening or watching me, and you have not bowed your knee to Jesus. Well, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. You might not have another chance. I want to encourage you to bow your knee to Jesus this morning or wherever you're listening and make a faith confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. This is how you get Jesus in your life, and this is how God can whisper his good love to you. So say this if you're ready to receive Jesus. Just confess this simple prayer after me. And mean in your heart, say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.